This song, I don't know if I like this song, man. It just brings back weird unconfronted memories of childhood, of adolescence. But it's our theme song tonight. We continue our Thursday night segment in honor of the best pastime in film, identifying the bad ones. That's right, we all love the bad movies, not the ones that set out to be bad, like parody movies and the like. No, we love the ones that are made in earnest, setting out to be the best film in the history of cinema, and instead, well, we get Bad Ronald. The segment is in conjunction with the series that came from the Neo-Futurarium, the long-running summer series that presents stage readings, the best worst movies of all time. It's running through July 15th, 7:30. We call this segment Justify Your Love. You call up, text your favorite bad movie, justify why it's so bad. And the best bad movie choice will get you a prize, a pizza tonight, 312-981-7200. Let's have some fun. In studio tonight, creator Rachel Claff, as always. Good to see you, Rachel. How are you?
Me too. Very good.
How was Face Off? That's the first. The only question I have tonight planned is, how was Face Off?
It was tremendous. We had a great crowd, and everyone was doing just their 100% best. It was astonishingly good.
Okay, so coming up here,
yes,
this week, you are going into the genre of horror.
Yes.
Suspiria.
Suspiria.
What is Suspiria? I've never heard of it.
Suspiria is a 1977 horror movie. Some say it's a classic. And we've had a lot of controversy surrounding this because people really feel that this is an excellent movie. I disagree respectfully, but it is an Italian horror movie made by Dario Argento. He's a pretty famous classic horror filmmaker. The plot in a nutshell is that a young ballet dancer goes to a prestigious academy in Germany to study dance and rapidly realizes that there's something really evil going on at the academy. It is gorgeously shot. He really knows his stuff. It's beautiful to look at, but oh my God, the script.
Controversy.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? We've got a ringer tonight. Joining us on the line, Stacey Ponder. Stacey used to do the blog, The Final Girl, about horror movies. She's also a commissioned artist. She does the commissioned art based on horror films, and she's also a filmmaker in her own right. Stacey, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
I'm ready to rumble.
All right, Stacey. So why don't we start off right away with Suspiria. Do you believe that this belongs in the stage readings of the best worst movies of all time?
You know, I am a huge Suspiria fan. Here's the thing. Suspiria, I finally figured it out today, is that Suspiria is like Schrodinger's horror movie. You know what I mean? It is absolutely a stone cold classic of the genre.
Okay.
And it is also a bad movie. And I can see whereas, especially with a staged reading where you've just got the script.
Yep.
Yeah, it absolutely belongs there. But you'll never hear me say that in public. So.
Right. Just on the radio in front of a bunch of people.
So, would never admit it out loud. But yeah, it belongs there, absolutely.
Stacey, I mean, let's talk about the idea of horror and where horror films fit in with the best worst movies of all time. Because we have texts coming in already that really, it seems like that genre more than any of them seem to grab people's attention for the worst movies of all time.
I can see that. Some of my favorite bad movies absolutely are horror films. I think one of the great things about the genre is that basically if you've got a camera, you can make a horror movie. And so you get a lot of more amateur productions, I would say, because there's a lot of backyard horror movies. And now with the internet, YouTube, Netflix, all of that, these movies are sort of just assimilated into the horror category.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Didn't they already, they made a documentary about it, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I mean, it's one of the greatest things about the genre is that even so many, you know, current professional horror filmmakers were fans. You know, you talk to any young director and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, Argento is the best. Oh, I love John Carpenter.
Right.
And, you know, so what came before influences what's out there now. Right. So it's very, it's a genre of the people.
And like, much like a photocopy, if you keep making copies of other people, you're going to end up with something really incomprehensible.
All right. That's a good point. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're justifying our love for the best worst movies of all time. 608 says, did I miss Beastmaster? Did Beastmaster make the cut?
We haven't talked about Beastmaster, but that definitely qualifies.
I don't even know what Beastmaster is.
How many sequels to Beastmaster are there? Stacey, do you know?
Oh, God, there's at least, I think it goes up to at least 3 or 4.
Yeah, I think you're right. Later. Definitely 3.
Yeah.
What, I mean, yeah. Dar, Beastmaster.
Right? That was his name?
Dar?
Dar. I think that was his name. And he could communicate with the beasts because he had the crystal thing. Mm-hmm. And, the witches wanted it. Oh, man, I was into that movie when I was a kid. Don't tell me it's a bad movie. I had impeccable taste.
I have a bunch of movies tonight already. It's amazing. Okay, so
I know, people
really stepped up
to the plate.
How about Killer Clowns from Outer Space? And we kind of did this stuff these before.
That I would say might be dancing with parody of bad movie. Because we've talked about this, that we like to, at least at our festival, when we, the stage readings that we do, we like to pick movies that took themselves dead seriously at the time for whatever reason. The more someone thought this was a good idea, the more ripe it is for exploiting it on stage.
And now, Stacey, I want to bring up a sore subject because Rachel said it was sore. Bad Ronald, you
don't say it.
You believe Bad Ronald, which was the first best worst, that was the one that won week one. You don't know that should fit in this category.
Well, again, it's interesting to look at these movies through the eyes of someone who is not necessarily a genre fan.
Yeah.
Because on paper, yes, Bad Ronald is crazy. It just, you know, and I mean, the script isn't great. But horror fans love that movie, and rightfully so, because it's creepy and it's nuts.
Yeah.
And the idea of someone living in your walls is completely terrifying.
It is. I think you have a really good point, because like there are a lot of horror movies that I've seen that are bonkers off the rails, but there's at least one shot that merits like a good deep to the marrow scare. Like Sleepaway Camp. The end of Sleepaway Camp is terrifying, no matter how you slice it.
No pun intended.
Oh, sure. Oh, you know, there's a movie called, it might be good for you. I don't know. I haven't seen it in years. It's called Track of the Moon Beast.
Okay.
It's about a man who, a meteor comes down and a piece of it breaks off and hits him in the head. And as you would expect, that causes him to occasionally turn into a lizard monster.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Right. Okay. Terrible movie. But there's a scene where he's killing someone out, a husband outside, and the wife is inside, and she's all scared, and the blood is coming under the door. And that scene, it works.
Yeah, exactly.
In this awful, awful movie.
Yep.
All right. 773 asks, wasn't Bad Ronald remade 2 years ago called The Boy? That they might have already gone back to the idea of the kid stuck
living
in the walls.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. All right, 312.
Yeah, it's not a remake, but it's definitely The Boy's got. I love The Boy, too. If you want to talk, I will throw down about The Boy, too. People say it's bad. Yeah, I have, oh, my God.
We're gonna find something that you think is bad, Stacey, by the end of the night. That's my goal, is to find something. Just that you find
That's
irredeemable.
My standards could be so low.
That you will never find it.
Well, Stacey Bonner's on the line. Rachel Klaff's in studio. She's the creator of It Came from the Neo-Futurarium, which is on stage. The best stage readings of the best worst movies of all time. The next one will be coming up here Saturday night at the Neo-Futurarium up in Andersonville at Foster and Ashland. All right, we'll take a break. 312-981-7200. We're going to start reading off all of the movies that are coming in tonight. You can text. You can call. The winner tonight gets a pizza. Stay with us. We're justifying our love for the best worst movies of all time. In studio, Rachel Klaff. She's the creator of It Came from the Neo-Futurarium, the stage reading series, one of the best in Chicago every summer. The best worst movies of all time are on stage at Neo-Futurarium every Saturday at 7:30 through next Saturday, the 15th, is the final one, which is crazy.
I know. We had a short run this summer. We usually do 6 weeks.
Until November.
I know.
There's so many good stuff. All right. We've got a lot going on. Stacey Ponder is on the line. Stacey, we're going to call you our horror film expert. We have a lot of horror films coming in. Also joining us in studio, the director of this week's stage reading, Suspiria, Stephanie Shaw. Stephanie, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, you're here?
Yeah.
Suspiria, before we move on, Stephanie, what makes Suspiria a great film to put on stage at the Neo Futurari?
Okay, it's a terrible film to put on stage, which is probably why I wanted to do it. I wanted to see what would happen if you stripped the beauty from this film, because it is a great example of form over function.
Okay, good.
You know, so if you take all the beautiful style and the gorgeous pictures away, what is left is a festering pile of meat that was somehow
that someone
ordered
is stabbing a knife
from
into
a
repeatedly.
Reputable firm, but has kept in the attic, which actually happens in
oh,
the
it
show,
does. Yep.
In the movie.
Wow.
And then they're surprised because maggots appear. None of us are surprised about the maggots. Well, we are at first, but then they spend a long
maggots.
Time explaining how the maggots happen.
Supernatural maggots.
Yeah. It's a very strange film.
All right, good. That's a selling point. Did Stephanie nail it? Stacey, what do you think?
Well, I mean, absolutely. But here's the thing is that I feel like you could say this about almost any horror film. Really?
No, that's
because
true.
If you stripped away all the visuals, because horror films, so many of them are about the atmosphere and the visuals, and they don't even need dialogue to sort of set a mood or to evoke something in a viewer. And so if you take all of that away, even, you know, Halloween, something like the classics, it's just dopey teenagers talking to each other.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
All right, so I've got some great stuff coming in, some great movies, horror and otherwise. So we're going to get to them now. 312-981-7200. Let's start off tonight with Harold. Harold, you're on the line. Harold, what's the best worst movie? Justify Your Love.
It is 1977, The Incredible Melting Man.
The Incredible Melting Man. What is it? What is the plot of this other than there's a man who melts?
Well, his spaceship gets a little too close to the sun.
Like it does, yeah.
Mission Control manages to get him back on track and get him back to the Earth. They put him in a hospital because he has these severe burns. And he is, I guess, due to his visit to the sun or near it, he begins melting and killing people.
Melting and killing people.
Right. Yes, and Alex Reber stars as Steve West, and it has in parentheses The Incredible Melting Man. So I'm going to even put it in the description of his character.
And exposure to the sun compels one to kill people?
It does in this.
There's a lot of radiation up there.
Sure,
Harold,
buy it.
We'll put you on the leaderboard, Harold. Thank you.
I'll tell you something. He, at the end, he just melts away, and the garbage man finds a pile of clothes with all this goo on it. And in a garbage
Come
truck.
Come on, man.
ignoble end.
That's good. I love it. All right. Thanks, bud.
All righty.
That's the worst ending since Jack Nicholson froze to death in The Shining. I'll say it.
You'll say it. Throw it down.
She'll go there.
All right. Let's keep going here. I'm going to go through some of these. 319 says the movie Joyride, which I'm not familiar with. Joyride.
Are you familiar with Joyride?
I don't know.
You're sighing.
I don't know if it's new or old. I may be thinking of something else.
We need more information.
Yeah, we need more information.
Another for Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah.
Okay. 414 says, how about the movie Rubber? R-U-B-B-E-R, Rubber.
Does anyone know this film? I feel like I've heard
about
of it.
About a killer tire.
You're right.
Killer car tire.
Yes, a killer car
Which
tire.
Is that sort of, you know, deliberate camp versus unintentional camp is the whole key, I think.
Okay. And you think this one's deliberate?
Yeah, I think. I mean, anyone who's going to be like, hey, I'm going to make a movie, it's going to be about a killer car tire, has to know
Yeah. But, yeah, they've run out of options.
I don't think they made that with a straight face.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
What happens when you know, you do your killer car movies, you do your Christine's, your Maximum Overdrives, and then you just got to strip it down to the tires.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's low budget. It's
bigger,
what's left over.
Or go bigger.
Or go bigger like a kill dozer.
Yeah.
You just go bigger.
Yeah.
Go bigger. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Scott. Scott, what do you got for Justify Your Love for what movie?
It was called Shockwaves. And I'm going to say mid-70s, 76, 77. And it was about a mad scientist who kept a group of SS Nazis in a pond in his backyard underwater and would break them out to do the dirty work every once in a while. It was the worst. I mean, it was unbelievably bad.
Don't you love the 70s?
Oh, my God. Anything went.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah, very bad.
All horrible. Right. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. Thank you, man.
I love it.
Some good stuff tonight. Here is a movie. I wish this is where I wish that I spent more time enjoying the finer things in life, bad movies.
Yeah.
Like, I just missed all these movies. But 847 says, is P2 on the list? What is P2?
I am looking at the synopsis of this, and it sounds bonkers and boring at the same time, which is an unusual combination. It's about a girl who goes down to her parking garage to the parking garage on Christmas Eve, and the security guard knocks her out. And then it ends with Angela must fight for her life in order to escape from the garage.
Oh, P2, like parking structure. Too.
I think so.
I see. Okay, I got it.
What's it got to do with Christmas?
I don't know. It's a red herring, but if it's like the parking garage I tried to get out of today, that movie's going to be 4 hours long. Holy moly.
All right, let's keep going. All right, we'll keep going here. 708 says, the worst horror movie, Candyman.
Oh, I kind of liked Candyman.
See, I knew Stacy would not allow this.
Stacy's mad. Yeah. Okay, Stacy, defend.
I will not stand for a bad word against Candyman. It's so good.
It is kind of great.
Oh, my. And as a Chicagoan, I assume, how can you not love Candyman, which takes place in Cabrini Green?
It does.
Honestly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? And I would like to say bees.
Yeah, bees.
And there's bees. A lot of bees. That's how can you not bees. Like that?
Yeah. They make everything better. They're the best part of Wicker Man.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are. They try to save us.
Right?
Oh, they do.
There's a lot. There are a lot of movies coming in right now,
Nicolas Cage.
We have hit a nerve here in the Midwest because I just got a flood of about 25 different texts.
Oh,
on
boy.
Movies. So here they come. We're gonna have
rapid fire.
Do we have a break before the news, or do I just stay? Okay. All right. Let's keep going. All right. 847 says Light of Day, Joan Jett and Michael J. Fox.
I wonder if this is a... Do you know this one, Stacey?
I think they're like a brother and sister, and they're in a band. But I mean, that's all I know. Yeah. I just remember the song, the theme song. So
there were a lot of those 80s sort of like Satisfaction and all of those.
Yeah, Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah, you're right. A Cleveland brother and sister rise with a rock band while coping with personal problems. Does not specify what kind
Michael
of problem.
Michael J. Fox was everybody's brother.
Yeah, right?
He really was. Stacey, I love that just off the top. You're like, I don't know. It's just, I think it's brother, sister, in a band.
She knows.
You know. All right, 847 says, my movie choice. Maybe I'll Come Home in the Spring.
Yeah.
It has everything. Drugs, hippies, major stars, and over-the-top acting. Sally Field and David Carradine.
TV movie.
Oh.
Yeah. This is great because we're wrapping things up on the 15th with a TV movie. I found that in researching these things, the further back you go, like in the 70s and 80s, the more bonkers the premise.
Right.
And the more risque the premises were. I mean, this one, no, because I think this is about Sally Field being a hippie. And I mean, there's probably drugs. But the one we're doing is all about the perils of syphilis. And... There are some really like more heavy morality tales that, and then you get your stuff like you've got now, the Lifetime movies of, you know, Mother May I Sleep with Danger and stuff, which
there was
90s.
A lot of pagan business too.
Yeah.
On the made for TV front. There was a lot of witchcraft going on mm-hmm. in the 70s on your TV.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
The dangers.
They really, really wanted to really push the envelope with the pagan, the push.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The last one here before we go to the break, 815 says The Seven Faces of Dr. Lau, okay. 1964 film with Tony Randall.
This has got to be a horror film. Do you know this one, Stacey?
No, I don't. Seven I was shocked faces. To hear Tony Randall, honestly.
Yeah, right?
The last time we did a movie with Tony Randall in it was My Little Pony, where he voices one of the characters in My Little Pony. He's good. All right, this is Seven Faces of Dr. Lau. This sounds good. A mysterious circus comes to a western town bearing wonders and characters that entertain the inhabitants and teach valuable lessons. It is billed as a fantasy mystery western.
Yep.
Oddly, not a circus film. This sounds good. I want to
look into this. All right. Yeah. We've piqued the creator's interest. Rachel Claffin Studio.
I love
Studio.
The old ones, man. They're
Stephanie
so weird.
Shaw as well, longtime neo-futurist collaborator and also the director of Suspiria, which
Correct.
Is going to be on stage on Saturday. And also joining us on the line, Stacey Ponder, who's our horror film expert tonight. All right, we'll Excellent. Do this. We'll take a break for the news. We'll come back. Joy, you're on the line. There's some other people on the line. There's also a ton more texts we're going to get to.
For you to justify my love.
It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Our theme song for Justify Your Love of the best, worst movies of all time. Rachel Claff in studio, the creator of It Came from the Neo-Futurarium, the stage reading of the best, worst movies of all time. You could see that every Saturday night through next Saturday, July 15th at 7:30 at the Neo-Futurarium up in Andersonville. Stephanie Shaw in studio. She's directing the next one, Suspiria, bringing horror to the stage. So that's coming up here. And also joining us on the line, Stacey Ponder. She used to run the blog Final Girl, and she also, which is about horror movies. And she's done, you dedicated your life to horror, whether it's commissioning art or being a filmmaker. You've been involved with the genre your entire life. So we appreciate you being here to help us out. All right. So we've got some more stuff coming through. I want to get to Joy because she's been on the line. Joy, how you doing, Joy?
Doing good. This is a great great night.
Yeah, right? Okay, so what do you think? What do you got?
I got two. One, since you're talking horror, I don't know if you already mentioned The Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
We talked about that last week.
That's been brought up a couple times that became sort of the parody version of the Attack movies.
Yeah. And then the one that was in the 90s, I believe, was called North. It was when I had my kids were little, and it was Elijah Wood trying to find better parents and like 20 or 30 different famous people in it is kind of like stereotypical, what would be considered like not appropriate as far as like, oh, what Hawaiian people are like, what Alaskan people are like, what.
Yeah.
And each one had its own quirky stereotypes and a lot of weirdness in it. So,
North,
this is a horror movie then.
Okay. It looks packed. It really is packed with people, like famous people. She's right about that.
I think I remember the poster. Like, isn't Elijah Wood walking?
He's
like
walking
on
the earth.
On the earth.
Right.
So dumb.
Yeah.
So dumb.
And Bruce Willis is trying to help him. He's like shows up in each thing. And I think it was one of John Ritter's kind of before the end movie.
Yep.
He played the Leave It to Beaver, Ozzie Nelson kind of dad in the movie. So. Anyway,
all the like comedians are in it. John Lovitz is in it. Dan Aykroyd's in it. Jason Alexander's in it.
Abe Vigoda was the Alaskan grandpa that they put out on the ice floe to send him off to his happy place at the end. And
well, that's my role.
No, he's glad to go, and he's like, no, I don't want to leave. You know. Yeah.
Oh boy.
All right. Thanks, Joy.
Have a great night, guys.
Have a great night. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. 847 says Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS.
Yes.
Circa 1973. What is that?
It sort of qualifies as a women in prison film. I think it's like a Nazi exploitation thing. Stacey, do you know this movie?
That's exactly what I would say about it.
Nazi exploitation, if that's a word.
Yeah, it bears all of the hallmarks of the Nazi exploitation genre. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Humble Aryan bosoms, you know, ripping other people, you know.
Oh, boy.
847 has the 1972 movie called The Last House on the Left.
That is an early, early Wes Craven film, and it pretty much set the tone for women, not just in danger, but in really crappy, crummy, down and dirty. It's a disturbing film, and he did it on a shoestring budget with a bunch of friends. None of them are actors, you can tell, and that just makes it all the creepier.
Wow. Yeah.
It is a disturbing film, but very effective.
Yeah. Well, do you put this one in a best worst movies of all time?
I wouldn't call it a best worst in that it is a difficult watch. It's it's sort of the, you know, scuzzy 70s exploitation version of Bergman's Virgin Spring. It's like lots of rape, lots of violence. Like, that's not fun. Yeah.
No,
sound like a way fun...
or a bad way.
Those are my least favorite horror films.
Those really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. 708 says the worst horror movie ever, Critters.
Critters. Yeah.
Any of them.
It's not good. It's not good.
All right. 773 says, let's move out of the horror genre. Let's go to, I guess this is comedy, Jack and Jill.
Okay. This is one where, and this is one of our rules, the movie, for good, bad movie, has to be inherently somehow rewatchable. I would argue that Jack and Jill is not only not rewatchable, but just not watchable. It's so terrible. You got Adam Sandler playing his own sister, and it's just so deeply unfunny and painful the whole way through. Just not watchable in the first place. So yeah, we really try to pick stuff that's like, I'd see that again. That was bonkers.
Well, you have to have some likability in how bad it is that you would go back to it. But the idea that
something
is so disturbing
bad,
that you wouldn't want to watch it again.
Yeah. This is one of those ones that fits into the whole sort of legitimately, like, somebody gave this money. Why? I could write a better movie in 5 minutes on an index card.
Someone had a lot of faith in Adam Sandler and figured, you know.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a great one for you guys. This is from my buddy Neil, who the 1977 film Viva Knievel.
That's great.
Okay.
Yep.
Here's the synopsis for you. Okay. It is a front runner just on the synopsis.
It really is.
Yeah.
Motorcycle stuntman Evil Knievel is offered a fortune to perform in Mexico. What Evil doesn't know is that they're planning to kill him and use his body to ship cocaine into the United States.
Oh, God.
His chief mechanic, who is an alcoholic, is weary of the whole thing and discovers something. But before he can tell Evil, he is sent to a rehab clinic for drug addicts, which Evil doesn't believe he is. He goes to see him, who tells Evil what he found out, but is still in the dark about what is happening.
Oh,
wow, that's not only a bad movie, but a terrible summary, too.
It's really wonderful because, and then you have to remember, too, I haven't seen it, but Evel Knievel is by no means an actor, so I can't imagine that wasn't anything but painful.
Wait, was it starring the actual Evel Knievel?
I'm assuming.
I would assume
it is.
Yeah,
right?
Because
1977.
They used his name, 77, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. It wasn't just some actor in a belt buckle and a jumpsuit.
No.
Okay.
Also, the phrase, what evil doesn't know, sounds like its own horror movie, may I say.
It's a pretty great cover to it as well. It's him jumping over. It's, of course,
well,
what you would expect.
Of course, jumping over something. Mm-hmm. But then it turns into, mysteriously, Weekend at Bernie's meets, what's the drug movie from the 2000s?
Midnight Express.
I don't know.
Drug movie from the 2000s?
You know what I'm thinking.
All of them?
All
of them. I will say this. My buddy Neil, when I told him, he used to work for Troma.
Yeah.
And he also worked at Facets.
Oh,
so
okay.
He loves this.
Oh, he
loves this game. He loves everything about it. Loves the series.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he's like, Bad Ronald, I have a copy of that.
Yeah.
And he said that the one that has eluded him has been Rabbit Test.
Okay.
Because with Billy Crystal getting pregnant, which 1 week two, he said, I can't find, I have to
you
look for
that.
It, try to get a VHS, try to order, it's just not available. He's like, I've never come across a copy of that, and I've tried.
I might still have Joan Rivers' autograph from when I went to go see that in Arlington Heights at the Arlington Theater.
That's amazing.
When I was 12, I stood in line and I got Joan Rivers. She stopped into Arlington Heights
Wow.
for the premiere.
For the premiere.
Rabbit Test.
go.
I'm sure I have it in a box somewhere.
That's amazing.
Yeah, wow. See, all right. We're on to something here. We're getting closer.
That's at a 12, mission, then. I really thought it was an enjoyable film. At 12, I dug it.
All right. Back to the genre. 224 says Wrong Turn is my vote.
Yeah, that's not, cannibals. Yeah. It's just it's your teens in peril thing, right?
You can't go wrong with cannibals.
So good.
Is it? Yeah.
It's so good. It's enjoyable.
How does it rate among the cannibal films? There's a lot of cannibal films.
It's very highly rated. Yeah.
In
its respective subgenre. Okay. Absolutely. Okay.
All right. So Rebecca De Mornay, who has shown up on our list before.
Sure.
Simmons says, 312 says, The Slugger's Wife.
The Slugger's Wife. I looked this up. It's a baseball legend meets a nightclub singer. Sort of a drama. I don't know. Baseball. Look, Rebecca De Mornay is kind of the queen of some real stinkers.
Okay.
We've threatened to do Hand That Rocks the Cradle several times. We haven't done it yet, but I am waiting.
All right. There's a lot of movies here, and I'm going to go through them real quick here. All right. So, well, you know what we'll do? We'll take a break. We got one break here. 312-981-7200. Patrick's on the line. We've got a bunch of texts that are coming in. Wow, a lot of people like this game, and we're going to name one of these movies to be the winner
tonight.
It's going
to be a hard one tonight.
And it is going to be a tough one. Yeah. Rachel Claff in studio, also Stephanie Shaw. Stacey Ponder on the phone. We will continue the conversation and also pick the winner coming up after the break. Stay with us. It's a download. They're justifying our love for the best, worst movies of all time. 312-981-7200. Rachel Claff in studio. She's the creator of It Came from the Neo Futurarium, the summer series at the Neo Futurarium that stage readings.
Yep. 12th year.
Best, worst movies of all time. 12th year on stage through the 15th. Saturdays at 7:30. Coming up this Saturday, Suspiria. Directed by Stephanie Shaw, who's also in studio. Stephanie, are you prepared? Are you ready? I mean, it's Thursday. Are you feeling it?
I had the Cairo syrup and the red food dye and the chocolate sauce, and I mixed them up in a jar, and I've been painting things all day.
I looked for my nightgown, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I'm also in this film.
You're in this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rachel's in it. Rachel's playing the Italian best friend.
Yeah, and I'm biased, but I have some decent death scenes.
Okay.
Like really good ones.
All right.
She gets two death scenes.
I do.
How do we do that?
You have to find out on
the
Saturday.
The magic of staged reading
the
cinema.
The Neo Futurarium up at Foster and Ashland. Great place. All right. On the phone as well, Stacey Ponder. Her blog, it's no longer it's Final Girl, about horror films. Also really lives a life around horror films. Commissions art. Also was an indie filmmaker. So Stacey has been here with us tonight to give us a better understanding on which horror films are the worst.
Can I make a nomination? Can I make a nomination of my own for this? Okay. There's a film called Kathy's Curse, which came out, I think, 1977. It's about a young girl who is possessed by the vengeful spirit of her aunt, who died like 30 years previously. And it's sort of, the filmmakers said, hey, The Exorcist is popular, Clary's popular, and The Omen is popular, so let's just blend them all together into one really terrible film. And it's, the acting is atrocious, the effects are ridiculous, but the dialogue is the key.
Oh, I bet it's great.
Nice, okay.
So it's like, all right, listen, it's on George, the list. You know, and I know that I've had a nervous breakdown, all right, but it's not catching.
It
is so entertaining.
All right, let's do this. Let's go to the lines, get the callers in, and then we'll do the rest of the texts that are in. Let's go to Mario. Mario, justify your love for the best worst movie of all time. What do you got?
I have a doozy for all of you in there. It's called The Puma Man. It's like early 80s, like really late 70s, 79, 80, somewhere around there.
Okay.
And it's just terrible, but this movie kicks it twice. Not only that the acting and the story is bad, it's also got a theme song that once you hear it, honest to God, you will not get it out of your head.
I could see Zimmerman already the wheels churning.
It's like they're playing it on a...
Is this it?
God. Oh my God!
Oh, this is beautiful.
Oh my God, please shut it off. You'll never, I'm telling you, you'll hum it the whole night through.
I'm putting this on my playlist for when I jog.
Oh my God, it's just horrible. It's horrible.
Wow.
I think some Italian company made it.
The Puma Man. Okay.
Is he
the
a puma?
Puma Man.
Does he turn? Is he a? Yeah. What's the?
No. The story goes that some aliens came from somewhere, and they dropped off. Get this, a mask. And seriously, it's like a golden mask, and whoever possesses the mask and puts it on like a pedestal and looks through it can control mind.
Oh, sure. Mm, wow.
Classic.
Right, and there's only one man. There's actually one man in a whole wide world that could that can stop it, because the aliens also gave this guy the power of a puma.
Well, of course.
And he learns to walk through walls, and he can fly. He can jump.
As pumas do.
Yeah.
Off of buildings. It is the worst thing I ever seen.
Oh.
Wow, Mario, man.
Mario just sold that.
You might have won the whole thing.
Yeah,
right,
just
here.
Out of sheer charm.
I'm telling you, it's the song. It's the song that does it, though. if you watch
even...
it and you listen, and it's constant through the whole damn movie.
It's horrible.
It's constant.
It sounds like... I don't even know. It sounds like a bad video game.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A children's Saturday morning sort of romp. Yep.
Thank you.
Oh, God, it's
Mario,
awful.
I'm putting you on hold. Mario, don't hang up.
Okay.
All right, I'm putting you on hold. Mario gets a pizza.
Yeah, Mario gets a pizza.
That's how you played that game.
Oh.
There was audio visual in that.
And he was actively horrified when we started playing that song. Yeah.
That was great radio, and Mario gets a pizza for it. I haven't. None of us have seen the Puma Man.
No, and I don't care. No. I would listen to. All I really want to do is just sit next to Mario and have him describe it to me.
While that music plays.
That's fine by me. We'll put it on stage, Mario. I'm not even kidding.
That was pretty good, man. That was pretty good. All right. The other movies that showed up tonight, I want to find this. 708, Rick says the best worst movie is a film called Liquid Sky.
Okay.
Came out in the 80s, centered around heroin and aliens. They're always aliens.
Yeah, I think the aliens come in search of the heroin, or they have the heroin. Yeah, it's not. It's like a psychosexual... Well,
the cast is comprised of unknowns except for a model named Anne Carlisle.
Yeah.
It's so bad it's good.
Yeah.
There you go. 224 says Hot Tub Time Machine. I don't know. That's all right.
You know,
we're not the audience for it, but I don't know if that means it's bad.
It's just silly.
312 says the original Toxic Avenger movie.
I don't know that one.
No.
That's a trauma movie. So it's
trauma.
That line.
Yeah.
Did you say Frozen Assets? Because I've got
Frozen
the,
Assets. I've yes, got Frozen the, Assets was next. Yeah,
this is good on the synopsis alone. Zach Shepard, played by Corbin Berenson, is excited to find he's been hired as president of a bank. When he finally arrives, he discovers to his dismay that the bank is actually a sperm bank. There, he meets the cold Dr. Grace Murdoch, played by Shelley Long, and her, of course, they fall in love. Mm-hmm.
It's a sperm bank, and she's cold.
Here's how much it made. I don't know why my phone is telling me this, but it made $376,008.
There you go. That's a good. That's
how much
a good return.
Aw, poor Shelley Long.
All right. So there, 312 says the early '80s karate movie Kill and Kill Again.
Oh. That doesn't sound like it has anything to do with karate.
No. 270 says Puma Man is a great Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, that's another Mystery Science Theater? Okay.
847 says Monolith Monsters.
I don't know that one either.
I don't know that one.
I bet that sounds old.
Okay. Movie from the 1950s, 270 says This Island Earth.
Oh, that sounds familiar. But I really like the real old stuff. Those are my favorites to stage because they're real gems.
All right. This is 815 also does it right, because we're getting these kind of, and it's on me because I didn't reiterate at the top, just throwing out a name of a movie at us. That's not going to make it happen. This is how you do it. 815 says the movie Tusk, T-U-S-K.
Just came out.
A guy abducts another guy and tries to turn him into a walrus.
Yep.
Supposedly based on a true story.
I think it's a Kevin, what's his name?
Smith.
Kevin Smith movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's very recent.
It's very recent. I think it's last year.
It's one of those that I sort of have stayed away from because I never could quite find the correct mood to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't think I want to watch a guy turn another guy into a walrus tonight.
All right. Before we have the finalists here for this week, Suspiria. One more time, Stephanie. Tell us about what the movie is and why we should go on Saturday to see you guys stage read it.
I mean, you can't lose. It's got witches. It's got dancers. It's got maggots. Yep. It's about beautiful young Susie Banyan, an American who goes to Freiburg to study dance and discovers a coven of witches is running her dance academy.
Ain't
and the
dance
academy
the
is just rife with issues, including Joan Bennett in her last role. And having watched and rewatched the movie, we've all decided she's just waiting for her drink at the end of the shoot.
Yeah.
She's just she's saying the stuff.
And dripping with jewels.
And dripping. And she looks great.
You got to go see Suspiria. It's going to be super Saturday night, 7:30 at the Neo Futurarium up at Foster National. All right. So we like we said, we're giving away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate tonight. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com. We gave one away already to Mario.
Yeah, spontaneously because it was just so great.
It's so good, right? So that
Puma
we'll
Man.
Take that one off. So what we have tonight is we have four movies.
Yeah.
That and really this could be down to three, but we have Viva Knievel, which is the movie about Evel Knievel going
just
to Mexico.
Just on the description alone.
They want to kill him and
stuff him
stuff his
with
body
cocaine.
Right?
I believe it was I forgot the who called this one in. Harold did. The Incredible Melting Man.
Yep.
About a guy who gets too close to the sun, and it not only melts him, but it makes him want to kill.
A killer, yeah.
Sure.
We've got Light of Day, which all we have on Light of Day is it's a brother-sister band
Joan
movie
Jett.
With Joan Jett and Michael J. Fox.
I just like that pairing.
Yeah.
And then the final, Kathy's Curse, which is Stacey's late entry into the best worst. So why don't we go? I mean, what do you like? Let's go to Pete Zimmerman. I think Pete has been listening along. He's up. What do you like, Pete? I mean, since we're kind of torn between Viva Knievel, The Incredible Melting Man, Light of Day, or Kathy's Curse.
You know, I kind of like Viva Knievel because I was looking at the cast, and you know, we can talk about Evel Knievel all you want, but it has Gene Kelly as the other star.
Of course it does.
Gene Kelly. And I like click. I was like, is this some other Gene Kelly? But no, it's the Gene Kelly.
Okay, and if this is 1977, he's got three more years until he makes Xanadu, and then he's done.
And according to the plot, Knievel prepares for another one of his stunt jumps, and we are introduced to his alcohol mechanic, Will Atkins, played by Gene Kelly.
Oh, it's Gene Kelly's playing the alcoholic mechanic. This is good stuff.
All right, well, that's going to win. That's going to win. Viva Knievel.
No.
Also stars the late Frank Gifford.
Frank Gifford?
Oh, for goodness sake.
Wow. This is amazing.
This
all
is
right,
getting
we got
more
it. Viva Knievel
compelling.
Wins tonight to add to the mix. We're going to have to put together some sort of festival for this.
Well, look, Viva Knievel, I have somebody in mind that I'm going to need to talk to about that one.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Rachel Claff, Stephanie Shaw, Stacey Ponder, thank you all for playing this week, justifying your love for the worst, best worst movies of all time. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justin.
So fun.
All right. This is Chicago's very own 720, WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio. That was so much fun. Wow. We are down to, we only have, one left here?
One left?
Oh, man, that's no good. So we're going to come out of here with five. And then we got to do one more and just have the five and have people vote for it or something like that. We'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah, you could do like a bracket.
Yeah, a bracket. So we got to do a bracket.
Did anybody say Howard the Duck?
Howard the Duck. That's a great movie.
It's terrible.
Oh. It's terrible.
And
it's terrible.
I saw it twice.
Nobody should have, no.
And I saw it twice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. All right.
Who didn't?
I think I saw it. Yeah, I feel like I've seen it like five times. I'm with you, Rob.